Serving nationwide and coast to coast, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Liberty University Broadcast Studio. It's Todd Starnes.
Yes, it is. Hello, America. Welcome to the program. Hope you're doing great out there, folks. A lot going on this hour of the program. Go ahead and write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling in today, 844-747-8868. That is a toll-free number, 844-747-8868. And we have some very exciting news. We're going to share this. I think we're expanding in the state of Michigan. And we've already added two radio stations. We'll be adding three more radio stations that will be carrying, broadcasting this radio show live, noon to 3 Eastern. And we'll be sharing more information about that a little bit later on. But we're excited because the show keeps growing. And that's a pretty awesome thing. So anyway, again, welcome to all of our new listeners. ToddStarnes.com is our website. Now, on Monday, we got some very disappointing news when the Supreme Court struck down a Louisiana law regarding abortion. And this has just really inflamed and enraged a lot of conservatives and especially a lot of pro-lifers, because once again, Chief Justice John Roberts sided with the liberals on the court. This is not the first time this has happened, and I doubt it will be the last. Well, to help us figure out what's going on, our good friend, the president of Family Research Council, Tony Perkins, on the Newsmaker line. Tony, good to have you back.
Todd, good afternoon. Good to be with you.
So look, there is a bit of good news from the Supreme Court, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But you guys have to be really disappointed in what's been happening up on the Supreme Court lately.
Yeah, this the case in June Medical, or Russo was originally called. This was actually a law that I initially authored back in the late 90s. It was the first Abortion Clinic Regulation Act of its kind in Louisiana, one of the first in the nation. And it simply did what, surprisingly enough, Justice Gorsuch pointed out yesterday, Monday, in his dissent, is that this is just common sense, that we require other outpatient centers, such as eye centers, to abide by these same requirements. And that's what I did. I actually brought the abortion clinics in under the same regulations as other ambulatory surgical centers. So there's nothing special that was being carved out for abortion clinics under this law. But what the court did is carved out special protections for the abortion industry by once again deciding that now we got to treat this special. They get a special pass on the fact that, you know, women are dying because of botched abortions. It doesn't matter. We're going to give them a pass. And what was so outrageous about this, Todd, as you alluded to in your opening, the Chief Justice, I wouldn't say anymore that he sides with the liberals. I would say he's among them. He's one of the five on the bench, because what he actually said in his opinion was that even though the case that this was built upon, the whole women's health, the case out of Texas, he said it was wrongly decided, but was bound by precedent to do the wrong thing again, which, you know, has many Americans, pro-life Americans, scratching their heads and saying, what? How do we correct past wrongs? We just keep going down this path? And that's where Justice Thomas really took the court to task in his dissent, is basically saying we're outside the bounds of the Constitution already, and we continue to build this case law outside the Constitution.
Tony, I think it's concerning to a lot of people, because this has been a longstanding problem with Republican presidents. Where are we right now with the Supreme Court? Do we have a conservative majority? Yes or no?
Well, I would say based on this, no. We are one vote away. Now, here's the good news of this, that we do know, we're quite confident that when it comes to the issue of life and the Constitution, that the two justices, Justice Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, that were placed on the bench by Trump, understand and rule according to the Constitution. Roberts, you know, some would argue that he's more like the new Kennedy, the swing vote. I'm not sure that you could be that favorable toward him with those comments. I mean, I think he's almost consistently wrong on the big issues. And Todd, let me to be very clear here. This is not about wanting judges who legislate conservative policy. To the contrary, we just want judges who will abide by the Constitution and interpret laws that are created by the legislature, not create new ones like they have in some of the decisions they've handed down this term.
So how do we fix this? You know, again, John Roberts appointed during the Bush years.
Right.
How do we fix it?
Well, a good question, and one that I think a lot of people are pondering. Now let's keep in mind that Alito was also appointed by Bush, but it was because conservatives put up a fit when he nominated Harriet Myers, was moving down that path, and conservatives, myself included, would not buy it. And we ended up with Justice Alito, who has been a stellar member of the court when it comes to the Constitution. I think what happens, and we've learned this lesson even last week with Justice Gorsuch, that there can be no question marks with these nominees. The next president is going to place justices on the bench. Now, it's going to be one, two, maybe more. And keep this in mind, Todd, that had Hillary Clinton won the 2016 election, this would have been a 7-2 decision, most probably. So progress is being made. This next election, the court is going to factor into it in a major way. So while there's disappointments along the way, and we've had our share, we cannot lose sight of the bigger picture. This administration has placed 200 judges on the bench, most of them outstanding constitutionalists. So a lot has been accomplished. There's yet more to do.
No, I see your point there. But again, I think there's just great disappointment because we've seen this. It's not the first time this has happened with Justice Roberts and of course with Gorsuch. That was a big shock for a lot of people when he betrayed. You know, I think he betrayed people.
Huge. No, there's no candy coating that. But I only say this. If we are not involved in elections in holding politicians accountable and supporting those who are moving in the right direction, the picture could be a lot worse. I mean, we could have justices who agree that we're all deplorables, according to Hillary Clinton's language. So I think this election, we've got to keep our eye focused upon the policies. This administration has advanced the policies that we care about. The majority of Americans care about more than any other, faith, family, freedom, all of those issues. Judges, they have made a generational impact on the courts. But the Supreme Court, as we see once again, is extremely important. And that, again, hangs in the balance in this election. So it's not time to back up. It is a time to ponder how we do things better. This was a learning lesson, and I think we do better the next time around.
Does the administration, you think, have regrets about putting Gorsuch up as the nominee?
I certainly think there are concerns after last week, and I think it's from a standpoint of they know that, because I had these conversations when Gorsuch was nominated, because there were question marks, and we were assured that no, this is going to be fine. You know, Ronald Reagan used to say, trust but verify. Going forward, I think in this next term, it's verified, then we might trust. We're not taking anything at face value. We're going to make sure that these are judges or nominees that have a clear track record that is in accordance with the Constitution, that they see their role as to interpret the law as it was passed, not to modify it, to make it constitutional, or to reinvent or redefine words that a Congress passed 45 years previously.
On the Newsmaker line, our good friend Tony Perkins from Family Research Council. Tony, on the other side of this, some very good news from the Supreme Court, a 5-4 decision today, Espinoza versus Montana. This was about school choice and religious liberty.
Yeah, this was a big one. And, you know, it's good news, and it's also a kind of a warning that these battles are going to have to be fought consistently. This is the fact that religious organizations, religious schools, would not be treated differently when it comes to the parents wanting to direct their monies to these schools to educate their children. And this is, I think, in the wake of the Bostock decision last week, where they redefined the term gender. And they even alluded to the fact that, you know, religious freedom, these cases are going to have to be decided. Todd, I think we just have to realize that we live in a period of time in America where these fundamental freedoms that were once just, you know, taken for granted, that they were there, they were always going to be there, that's not the case. We are going to have to fight for those freedoms, stand for those freedoms, use those freedoms, defend those freedoms, and never take them for granted. And I do think that we will prevail on many occasions, but we will take some setbacks. But unless we're willing to stand and defend those freedoms, our children will never experience them.
Well said. Tony, we're going to have to leave it there. FRC.org, if you'd like to get more information about the Family Research Council. Tony Perkins, always good hearing from you.
Todd, great to be with you. Have a great afternoon.
All right, you too. Good guy right there, folks. And the FRC, they are fighting every single day in our nation's capital. Some of the brightest folks I know working for that great organization. And if you are looking for, maybe if you are a religious person and you want to get involved, you want to support their efforts, I would encourage you to do that. FRC.org. It's a nonprofit, and so I know they could certainly use your help. Got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. ToddStarnes.com, our website. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
You know, just when you thought these CNN folks, the most profane name in news, just when you thought they could not get any more despicable, comes this story from FoxNews.com. Betsy Rothstein, who is a very popular gossip columnist with the Daily Caller. I think she's written about me a time or two. Nice lady. Betsy Rothstein lost her battle with cancer on Sunday. And she was truly a beloved figure in Washington, D.C. She had friends on all sides of the political spectrum. As a matter of fact, New York Magazine wrote a lovely tribute to Betsy. But CNN, well, that's another story. Nathan McDermott is a part of CNN's liberal K-File investigative unit. And he posted something on Twitter about Betsy's death, and it's pretty despicable. And he's actually defending himself. He's standing up for his comments. This is what he wrote about Betsy. I did not know Betsy Rothstein, only read her occasionally. I am sad she passed away, but there's clearly a divide in values political journalists hold when almost everybody mourning her online is a white reporter who covers D.C. So the man is implying that Betsy was a racist, or that people who loved Betsy are racist. By the way, Nathan McDermott is a white guy. He looks rather a fet, I believe is the appropriate word. Mustache not a good look for you, Nathan. He's got one of the porn star mustaches. It's not a good look for a guy. He goes on to say, I do appreciate the irony that occurs when provocateurs who disdain sanctimony die. And people get outraged when you don't say they were perfect. You know what, dude? Can you have a little bit of decency? I know you work at CNN, the most profane name in news. I know you have people on your staff that have been accused of assaulting men at bars in the Hamptons. I get that. But can you have an ounce, just a smidge of decency, human decency and compassion? When somebody dies, you know what gets me about all this? And this happens on the right, too. Somebody dies, they're a Democrat. And inevitably, you'll see a conservative write something like this on Twitter. Well, I didn't agree with all the stuff they did, but, you know, rest in peace. You know what? It's not about politics. Stop it. Have some human decency and compassion. It's not about politics. It's about humanity. I get a lot of blowback every time we've had a, Democrat who's fallen ill, who's had some sort of an illness or an accident, and we offer up a prayer for those people because that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. Yes, that includes praying for the leftist. That's what we're supposed to do. But I get so much blowback from people. How can you do that? How can you offer prayers for such an evil person? Really, folks, that's a big problem in America right now. That is a heart issue, not a political issue, a heart issue. And I don't know Nathan McDermott. I've never met the guy, never read anything he wrote until this attack on a dead woman, a woman who died from cancer. And he wants to smear this woman's good name. For what? For a couple of retweets? A couple of likes on Twitter? I mean, does it make you feel good, Nathan McDermott, that you trashed a dead woman who died from cancer? Does that make you feel something inside? This is the problem with journalism today, folks. It really is. And this is sad and it's disgusting. And honestly, in any other time, if CNN had been still owned by Ted Turner, as liberal as he was, Ted Turner had a measure of honor, and he would have personally kicked this guy to the curb. But they don't have honor. They don't know what honor is over at CNN. They don't know what honor is in most newsrooms around the country. As a matter of fact, and we'll play this audio coming up in the next segment of the show. Yesterday, a guy from Politico had the nerve to ask Kayleigh McEnany if the president was upset that the South lost the war. What kind of a question is that? You know what they should have done? What they should have done, as soon as someone asked that question, they should have played the Dukes of Hazzard theme song. They should have just laid on the horn of the General Lee, playing Dixie. Yeah, that would have triggered them. They would have peed in their pants right there in the middle of the White House press briefing room on national television. These people disgust me. And I know that we cannot hate people. But these people disgust me. People like Nathan McDermott from CNN, the most profane name in news. And you need to know this. When you go out there and when you read these stories, you need to know who these people are. I mean, this is downright despicable, just evil. Evil, I say. All right, we got to take a break here. Jeez, a loop. 844-747-8868. We're going to play the Civil War audio coming up after the news break here. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. A piece up on Breitbart. Mark Smith is the president of the Da Vinci Group, and he is a supporter of the president. He was on Sirius XM, the Breitbart Daily News with Alex Marlowe. He says that President Trump is actually benefiting from the Black Lives Matter movement, and he contends that the silent majority of Americans are still supporting this president. And I'm curious, is that you? Are you part of that silent majority? Maybe you're not getting out there, you're not marching in the streets, you're not going to a MAGA rally, but you still support the president, and you're sort of keeping it on the down low because you don't want the Black Lives Matter people on your front lawn. Is that you? Did I say lawn? Lawn. Front lawn. The front yard, as we say in this part of the country. Is that you? Are you one of those people that is still supporting this president? Maybe you're not talking to the pollsters. Maybe you're giving the pollsters fake information. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. So anyway, Mark Smith from the Da Vinci Group goes on to say that at the grassroots level, Trump continues to have great success. And they believe that he is still speaking for those Americans who are in that silent majority. And there could be something to that. I mean, I still believe this president is going to win. I know Newt Gingrich is very concerned. He says if the country is shut down again because of the virus, all bets are off. It could be a bad day for the president. Mr. Smith goes, for Americans to feel comfortable reelecting a president they've gotten to know over the last 3.5 years, the emphasis should be that we are all Americans, that we are men, women, and families. We are a country to have been blessed enormously by a diverse culture. And I think there's something to that. You know, the president, and again, when you look at the left, it's all just America is evil. America is bad. America is responsible for all the problems of the world. And what better campaign message on the other side for President Trump to get out there and say America is the most exceptional nation in the world, that people of all countries want to come here. You don't see people lining up to go to Mogadishu. No, of course not. So maybe there is something to this unifying positive message and just focus on that. Maybe that's the right thing to do. So look, I told you about this guy from Politico, and he asked Kayleigh McEnany one of the most absurd questions I've ever heard uttered in the White House press briefing room, and that says a lot, seeing how you've got little Jimmy Acosta there and April Ryan. Let's play this audio.
Does President Trump believe that it was a good thing that the South lost the Civil War? And then two, is he interested in following NASCAR's example and banning the Confederate flag at his own events?
Well, your first question is absolutely absurd. He's proud of the United States of America. Second, with regard to our statues, Americans oppose tearing down our statues. There is a Harvard-Harris poll released just last week that shows 60% of respondents said the statues should remain, and 71% said local governments should block groups from physically destroying the statues. So he stands on the side of preserving our history.
Well, good for you, Kayleigh. No need to bother with these morons and their questions. I mean, what a stupid question. But honestly, she should have just had somewhere a mixtape with like Sweet Home Alabama, the Dukes of Hazzard theme song, the General Lee, you know, the horn from General Lee.
We need to get a whole mixtape of walkout music for her, like baseball players have.
Oh, like Southern Rockers. By the way, can I just tell you, I'm very excited about tomorrow's program. Ted Nugent is going to be on the show.
Nice.
Tomorrow. So you know we got to have a lot of music from the Nuge in the show.
I'll get to work on that.
All right. Yeah, you got some homework tonight, Caleb. Speaking of baseball, I want to get you're the big sports guy here. A Major League Baseball player is very concerned about racism at the ballpark, and he's this is great.
I take offense to Cracker Jacks too.
Ian Desmond is an outfielder with the Colorado Rockies, and he says he's going to be opting out of the league this year. He wrote a lengthy Instagram post, and this post references George Floyd. He calls out racism in Major League Baseball and his struggles as a mixed race American. I'm going to try to read some of this to you, and I'm very curious to get your reaction, because we're talking about America's pastime here. It was only a matter of time before they targeted that. The image of Derek Chauvin's knee on the neck of George Floyd, the gruesome murder of a black man in the streets at the hands of a police officer, broke my coping mechanism. Oh, he's one of those. A snowflake. Suppressing my feelings became impossible. Could you try just a little harder? I know this is to like millennial men. Can you just grow a pair?
I kind of thought the millions of dollars would be a good coping mechanism.
Well, one would think so. In clubhouses, we've got racist, sexist, homophobic jokes or flat-out problems. We've got cheating. We've got a minority issue from the top down. One African-American GM, two African-American managers, less than 8% black players, no black majority team owners. If baseball is America's pastime, maybe it's never been a more fitting one than now. The golden rules of baseball: don't have fun, don't pimp home runs, don't play with character. Those are white rules. What does that mean, don't pimp home runs?
Don't celebrate, I'm guessing, is what he's referring to there. Like, you know, run around the bases slowly or flip the bat or whatever.
Maybe fire a weapon in the air. He goes on to say, if we didn't force black Americans into white America's box, think how much more we could thrive. What is this guy saying? Isn't he in Major League Baseball?
So is his suggestion that black people shouldn't play baseball? What's his? I'm confused on that one.
Well, he's not going to play. So he's protesting the fact there are not more minorities in baseball. Now, ESPN points out that this oppressed guy, has a $70 million five-year contract. You know, I'm just speaking as an unintelligent cracker, but I could probably be oppressed for $70 million. Just a
smidge. Seems like a fair price to me.
So, Caleb, let me ask you about this as a sports fan. So, you know, this guy says that only 8% of ball players in Major League Baseball are black, and that signifies there is a problem with racism in Major League Baseball. Is that right?
Well, here's the thing. There's an incredibly high number of Hispanic players in Major League Baseball, so I don't understand the white players are not the majority of Major League Baseball. I mean, I go check the statistics on that. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but just from watching, seems like there are an awful lot of Hispanic ball players and black ball players and white ball players and Asian ball players. I don't see where it's a white dominated sport. Now, if you want to talk about owners and general managers and stuff like that, that's obviously a different story. But on the player level, it seems pretty diverse.
So the idea here, though, the argument is that there are not enough black players in Major League Baseball, so therefore Major League Baseball is racist. And Caleb, that brings up another interesting sport, professional basketball. Now, according to and you can take these numbers for what they're worth, Wikipedia says 74% of guys in the NBA are black. Only 23% are white. So using that argument, is it possible that you could say that the NBA has a race problem?
Every time there's like a young up-and-coming like white player, that's always brought up like half-jokingly. I'm trying to remember, was it Jimmer for Dead a few years back that people would say that about at any rate? I'm actually surprised that number's not higher, that it's not more than 74%.
Well, and it very well may be. It seems a little low to me. And again, what do I care? I mean, it seems to me that you would want the best, most talented athlete on your team, regardless of their skin color. But what this guy is saying is that ability doesn't matter as much as skin color does. I just don't see where this goes. Folks, they're literally tearing apart our sports. That's what they're doing. They're tearing apart our sports. Look at what happened over the weekend. You had what do they call them? The lady soccer players, women soccer players. I want to be the gals.
The women soccer players, yeah.
I'm sorry, the dames, what? The broads, what? What is the correct word? I want to be accurate here.
I would say chicks, but I think that country music group has that copyrighted now.
You know, back in the day, the Memphis minor league team, we were the Memphis Chicks.
Like chicks referring to chickens?
Yeah,
like the baby chickens?
Yeah, chicks, yeah. So
seems like an unfortunate name for a male athlete to have to don.
You play for the chicks. So now you got these lady soccer players all out there taking a knee, wearing the Black Lives Matter shirts. NBA just announced they're going to put Black Lives Matter on the floor of all of the, or the basketball courts, Black Lives Matter. And Lord only knows what the NFL is going to look like. And I think we're going to see a lot of athletes this fall taking a knee and disparaging America. And at some point I'm wondering, and we have a lot of guys that, and a lot of ladies too, that listen to this show that enjoy the sports. At what point do you turn it off? Or have you already turned it off? Have you already cashed in your season tickets? You said, yeah, I'm good here. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free number, 844-747-8868. And the good news is we welcome all listeners. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
You know, Caleb, I love basketball, and you know, when I was in college, I actually wanted to be a basketball player. But unfortunately, the coach said I was the worst basketball player he had ever seen in his life.
Ouch.
The exact words.
Ouch.
So I got to be a mascot instead.
Oh, now was it a human mascot or was it an animal mascot?
No, I was like in this. It was a Crimson Panther, and apparently, I guess we got it on the cheap. Because it was really like the Pink Panther and not, you know, a Crimson Panther.
You just borrowed a Halloween costume from down the street from the Party
very
City.
Very unfortunate. Very unfortunate. But I, you know, had a lot of fun, though. Let's go to the phones. Little Rock, Arkansas. Irene listening to us on KARN. Hi, Irene. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. I have a lot on my mind today. You had asked a question about whether or not I'm a member of one of those silent majority individuals, and for the most part, I am, but I have found myself emailing and contacting some of these media outlets as of late because I can't stand by anymore and be silent. In all honesty, yes, when I saw what happened to George Floyd, the first time I saw the video, even I was angered, but the response to this and how, as a white female, I am finding myself being personally attacked, and racism goes both ways. It honestly does. It's not just, you know, whites against blacks. Blacks are racist against blacks, and blacks are racist against whites, and everybody, no matter where you go in the world, you're going to find racism. The thing is, in America, we're now allowing it to impact our country. And if we don't wake up, if we don't stop this attack from within, we're going to lose the America that we have come to know and love. And very true. You've stated that this is the land of opportunity, and people keep trying to come here from other places. And it's very true, because we have these liberties. People want these liberties. And if we're going to lose them and become like China, like Venezuela, like Cuba, like Russia, good luck protesting. Good luck trying to change things and make them better. They're the
just
best
think about this, Irene. Irene, just think about this. The couple in St. Louis, Missouri, standing on the front lawn of their home, they're actually, in the eyes of some people, they're criminals. Because not just because they were standing on their front lawn, but because they were successful white people. And that's the cold, hard reality. And so many people have been afraid to talk about this issue. But Irene, I got to tell you something. I've been seeing this coming for a very long time, where for at least the past 10 years, there has been an effort to marginalize and shame white young people. And now we're watching these white young people who are brainwashed to think that there's something wrong with them because of the color of their skin. Now they're out marching in the streets.
Oh, absolutely agree. And I have seen it for many years as well. And the there's a reason why they're trying to say, oh, you know, poor people, we should be educating your children. We should be providing free daycare. We should be taking care of these children. It's classic communism. They take the small children, indoctrinate them from the beginning when they're very, very young, and brainwash them to believing that it's absolutely for the betterment of the society at large that you rat out your parents, that you rat out your friends, anyone who doesn't assimilate, everyone who doesn't just march and fall in line. You need to, they're the bad ones. And totally agree. It is, we've allowed the left to take control of our educational system, and we're paying the price because we've lost an entire generation. Totally agree with you. They are brainwashed. And you cannot allow the educational system to raise your children. You need to do that at home. You need to teach them the right way. You can't leave it to video games. You can't leave it to the schools. You can't leave it to their friends. People need to take control of what is going into their children, into their minds.
Irene, look, I mean, it's amen, amen, amen to what you are saying here. And folks, it's not about black or white. That's the issue they're using to divide us. But this is about Marxism. This is about socialism. This is about communism. This is about fundamentally transforming our nation. And they know they can do it because the hot button issue in this country is race. And they know the mainstream media is going to they're going to lavish that. And they have. Irene, thank you for the call. Thank you for listening to us. We appreciate all of our great listeners out there. So look, we're going to continue the conversation here. 844-747-8868. Toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. The website, by the way, is toddstarns.com. I really hope you check that out. Avery's working hard on the live show blog. We have a great podcast for you to download. Also, our awesome weekly newsletter. Folks, you got to be informed. And we cover the stories the mainstream media will not cover. ToddStarns.com. We'll be right back, folks.